Imagine looking under your desk right now. Instead of hearing, you know, that familiar aggressive whir of a plastic cooling fan just spinning up to handle a heavy workload.
Right, sound like a jet engine.
Exactly, a jet engine taking off in your office. But instead, your PC is completely, utterly silent. But, and here's the crazy part, if you reach down and touch the case, you can actually feel a faint rhythmic pulse.
Mm.
Today, we are looking at how the traditional personal computer quietly died and how a synthetic organism effectively took its place.
It's really a profound transition because for decades, we were all conditioned to expect technology to evolve in a very linear, predictable way.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
You buy a new system, you get a slightly faster processor, maybe a bit more memory.
Right, you get some more RAM.
Exactly. But the core architecture always remained the same.
Yeah.
What you have sitting under your desk today is a complete deviation from that blueprint. I mean, total deviation.
Which brings us to the mission of our deep dive today. We've got our hands on this massive, exclusive global analysis from Tech and Meg, and it's titled The Cybernetic Renaissance.
Great piece.
It really is. And we are going to explore why the tech landscape violently shifted as we hit the middle of 2026, and how your computer transformed from this rigid metal box into something relying on artificial intelligence, quantum physics, and biomimicry.
Yes.
But to understand the solution, you know, we really have to understand the crisis that forced it. And that takes us back to Q4 of 2024, when Moore's Law officially collapsed.
The 1-nanometer barrier.
Yeah.
Hardware manufacturers had spent, I mean, half a century successfully shrinking silicon pathways, right?
Gotcha.
Just to cram more transistors onto a single chip.
Trying to squeeze every last drop out of it.
Right. But when they finally tried to push down to a 1-nanometer process,
mm-hmm.
classical physics just, well, it simply stopped cooperating.
It hit a physical wall.
It literally did. At that microscopic scale, a silicon gate is only like a handful of atoms thick. So you run into this phenomenon called quantum tunneling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the electrons you're trying to route through the processor, they don't stay in their physical lanes. They actually phase right through the solid silicon barriers.
Wait, so the chip basically becomes like a sieve? The electricity is just bleeding everywhere?
Precisely. It's just leaking.
Yeah.
And that extreme electron leakage resulted in these catastrophic thermal meltdowns.
Yeah.
Processors were generating so much chaotic heat that they were throttling themselves to a dead halt, just trying to calculate basic everyday data.
Just opening a web browser and the thing melts down?
Basically, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The brute force method of simply making transistors smaller was over. I mean, the industry couldn't just build a better silicon engine anymore. They had to invent an entirely new kind of logic.
Okay, let's unpack this, because if silicon hit a physical wall, we have to look at what actually replaced it, you know, the brain of this new cybernetic rig.
And that replacement is the consumer quantum processing unit, or the QPU.
Right.
We're talking models like the AMD Ryzen Quantum or the Intel Core Q series.
Which still feels so surreal to say out loud, honestly.
It really does.
Because up until roughly 2024, quantum computing was this mythical, hyper-expensive concept isolated in sub-zero corporate laboratories.
Oh, absolutely.
You needed a facility the size of a warehouse filled with these cryogenic cooling tanks just to keep the qubit stable enough to do basic math without collapsing.
Mm.
So how on earth did we go from warehouse-sized liquid helium tanks to a chip sitting on my desk in under 2 years?
Well, it really comes down to a major breakthrough in Q3 of 2025 involving 3D qubit stacking.
Okay.
Previously, you know, qubits were laid out on a flat two-dimensional plane, but the problem is qubits are highly sensitive to any environmental noise.
Yeah.
I mean, even normal room temperature heat would cause them to lose their quantum state.
They'd just fall apart.
Exactly. So the breakthrough was layering them vertically in a dense three-dimensional matrix.
Mm-hmm.
It created this self-correcting error lattice.
So they're stacking them up like an apartment building?
Pretty much. And the outer layers of the stack essentially act as a sacrificial shield.
Oh, I see.
They absorb all that thermal interference and allow the core qubits inside to operate perfectly at normal room temperatures.
So they essentially built a quantum bunker on a microscopic scale.
That is a great way to visualize it.
Right.
And the performance leap, I mean, that is what enables this new era of real-time infinite physics.
Right.
A traditional CPU calculates sequentially, right? One mathematical problem after another.
In a straight line.
Yes. But a QPU calculates by exploring all possible probability states simultaneously.
Which is wild to think about.
It is. So if you're playing a next-gen open-world game and, say, a building collapses, a traditional CPU tries to linearly calculate where every single brick falls.
And your frame rate just tanks to like 2 frames a second.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the QPU, it calculates the precise aerodynamic trajectory of millions of dust particles, the structural splintering of the glass, the shockwave rippling through foliage miles away, all at once.
Wow. I'm trying to picture the sheer data flow of that. But wait. If the QPU is entirely dedicated to probability math and physics, who is actually drawing the picture on my monitor? Because the other massive casualty of that 1 nanometer barrier was the traditional graphics card.
Yes, the demise of the massive GPU.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look back at a legacy card, like the RTX 4090, it was a colossal 4-slot monolithic brick.
It was huge.
Consumed upwards of 600 watts of power all by itself.
It was essentially a space heater that occasionally rendered video games. You literally needed a reinforced motherboard just so the sheer weight of the metal wouldn't snap your system in half.
It was an unsustainable trajectory, for sure. The industry finally realized that natively rendering every single pixel on an 8K display, you know, calculating the specific color and lighting for over 33 million individual pixels, 60 times a second.
Yeah, that's a lot of math.
It was a profoundly inefficient way to generate an image. So the monolithic GPU was replaced by the Edge Neural Processing Unit.
The NPU.
Exactly, the NPU.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting, because the NPU doesn't actually render the game at 8K, does it?
No, not at all. It sidesteps the heavy lifting entirely. What's fascinating here is the elegance of the software over the hardware.
Okay.
The NPU renders the base geometry of the game at a shockingly low internal resolution. We're talking sometimes as tiny as 720p.
720p? That's like DVD quality.
Right. But it's equipped with hyper-advanced generative AI models baked directly into the silicon. So this AI takes that low-resolution framework and instantaneously upscales it, basically hallucinating a flawless 8K image at 240 frames per second.
So instead of a painter painstakingly detailing every single blade of grass on a massive canvas, the NPU is like a brilliant sketch artist who quickly draws a rough stick figure, and then the AI references its massive neural library to instantly imagine the rest of a photorealistic masterpiece.
That is an excellent analogy. The raw render is really just a structural skeleton, and the AI weaves the high-fidelity skin over it in a microsecond.
Humble.
And because it's generating the image rather than calculating it pixel by pixel, the NPU pulls barely 150 watts of power.
That's a huge drop. But I have to play devil's advocate for a second here.
Go for it.
If the NPU is hallucinating the high-resolution details, you know, if it's just guessing what the textures should look like based on a neural network, isn't the image technically fake? Like, am I even looking at the actual game engine anymore?
Well, it certainly challenges our entire definition of a digital environment.
Yeah.
But consider how it handles lighting, specifically AI ray tracing. In legacy hardware, the GPU had to physically calculate the geometric trajectory of billions of individual light photons bouncing off surfaces.
Right, which was super demanding.
Mathematically exhausting.
Yeah.
But the NPU's deep learning model doesn't calculate the physics of the light. It simply predicts how those photons should logically scatter based on the geometry of the room.
Oh, wow.
It intuits the lighting rather than calculating it. And the result is 99.9% visually identical to the real physical calculation, but it achieves that reality using only a fraction of the electrical power. So to your optic nerve, it is perfectly real.
That makes a lot of sense. It's working smarter, not harder. But, you know, that actually brings us to a massive physical contradiction in this new architecture.
Correct.
Because we just established that the NPU is power efficient. But that quantum brain we discussed earlier, the QPU exploring millions of probability states simultaneously to render dust particles.
Right.
The TechInMag analysis notes that when that chip hits maximum load, it generates an absurd localized heat spike. We are talking about a thermal design power, you know, the sheer volume of heat energy the system absolutely has to shed to survive, of roughly 1,500 watts.
Which is enough concentrated thermal energy to literally melt the surrounding motherboard traces into slag.
Seriously. If you tried to dissipate a 1,500-watt heat spike with the traditional mechanical fans and water pumps we used in 2024, the PC would sound like a commercial jet engine spooling up right before the plastic components caught fire.
Oh, it would be a disaster.
Yeah.
And that extreme thermal reality forced hardware engineers to look outside of traditional thermodynamics entirely.
Yeah.
They turned to biology. To solve the 1,500-watt problem, they engineered biocooling ecosystems.
Now, this is the part that feels like peering into an alien anatomy textbook, because when you look inside a 2026 PC case, there are no mechanical pumps.
None.
There are no noisy impellers or spinning fan blades. It operates at absolute 0 decibels. Instead, the chassis is lined with flexible, capillary-like tubes made from smart polymers.
It is entirely biomimetic. It literally mimics the cardiovascular system of a living organism.
But how does the fluid actually move if there isn't a mechanical pump driving it? The tubes actually pulse on their own, right?
Yes, they utilize piezoelectricity. The smart polymers are designed to physically contract and expand when exposed to specific microelectrical currents generated by the motherboard.
Wow.
So by sequentially pulsing those voltages down the line of the tubing, the casing itself creates a peristaltic wave.
A wave.
Right. It literally squeezes the fluid forward, exactly like your esophagus swallowing or, well, a vein pumping blood.
That is incredibly unsettling, but brilliant. And the fluid it's pumping isn't just colored water anymore, like the old days. It's a nanosynthetic fluid.
Mm-hmm.
The analysis explains that this fluid uses phase change materials at a microscopic level, meaning it has a heat capacity roughly 100 times greater than traditional liquid coolants.
It's massively dense.
Right. It can absorb a massive quantum heat burst in a nanosecond, chemically shift its state to hold that energy, and drop the core temperatures by 10 degrees Celsius instantly. But I just have to ask, if my PC essentially has a cardiovascular system and a heartbeat, do I need to take it to a doctor to get its blood drawn? Like, what is the maintenance on something like this?
I guarantee that is the number one fear of every consumer upgrading to these systems.
Serious.
But the biosystems are remarkably resilient. There are no mechanical gears to strip, you know,
right.
No ball bearings to wear out. The nanosynthetic fluid is entirely self-contained and antimicrobial.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it requires virtually zero maintenance on your part.
Sure.
You only need to take the system in for a professional fluid flush every 3 to 5 years.
Okay, kind of like a car.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Similar to changing the transmission fluid in an electric vehicle.
Okay, that is a huge relief. I really don't want to be applying a tourniquet to my graphics card.
No tourniquet is needed.
So we have a system with a room temperature quantum brain, and we have it circulating synthetic blood through pulsing veins to keep from melting. But,
yeah.
You know, all this processing power is completely useless if the machine can't access the game data fast enough.
Right.
If you plug a quantum processor into a traditional hard drive, the processor is just going to sit there starving, waiting for the data to arrive.
And that data starvation was really the final bottleneck to overcome, the complete eradication of data latency.
It's funny, if you told a new gamer today that just a few years ago, we actually had to sit and stare at a static picture on our monitors with a little spinning wheel that said, loading, before we could enter a new room in a game, they just wouldn't believe you.
It sounds archaic.
Loading screens are historical artifacts now.
The entire architecture of data transfer had to be reimagined. Because in legacy systems, the pipeline was heavily congested. You had to physically read a file from a storage drive, push it through copper wires into the system RAM, and then push it again over to the graphics card's dedicated memory.
Just jumping through hoops.
Exactly. It was a multi-step traffic jam of electrons.
Which brings us to Generation 6 smart storage and photonic direct access. The bandwidth speeds here are just absurd. We're talking 52 gigabytes per second with a cache latency of 0.01 milliseconds.
Unprecedented.
Because they aren't using electrons pushing through copper anymore. They are using actual photons, light.
Right. By integrating silicon photonics, the storage drive communicates with the NPU using microscopic lasers.
It's like bypassing the spinal cord entirely and wiring the optic nerve directly into the brain's visual center. There is no middleman.
Mm-hmm.
You don't load a level anymore. The environment is generated internally the millisecond you need it. So if your character turns their head in-game, the massive 8K textures for the environment behind you are fetched via laser and generated by the AI in the exact microsecond the virtual camera aligns with them.
If we connect this internal speed to the bigger picture, it perfectly illustrates why the loudest industry prediction of the early 2020s failed so spectacularly.
Oh, you mean the prophecy that cloud gaming was going to kill off the personal computer entirely?
Yes, that one.
I remember analysts swearing that by 2026, nobody would own local hardware. We would all just stream games from massive server farms, kind of like watching a movie on Netflix.
That was the general consensus. But those analysts fundamentally ignored an unbreakable law of physics.
The speed of light.
The speed of light. Even with ubiquitous 6G networks and fiber optic infrastructure spanning the entire globe, data still has to physically travel from a corporate server down a cable to your specific monitor.
And when it comes to interactive media, distance equals time.
Exactly. For a competitive esports player, or frankly any engaged gamer, input lag is just unacceptable. When you pull a trigger or dodge an attack, your character must react instantaneously.
Right.
The physical distance to a cloud server creates a latency barrier that no amount of software optimization can overcome. You simply cannot compress the speed of light.
So how did the industry compromise? Because obviously we still use cloud networks. How do we balance the absolute need for zero latency reflexes with the desire for massive server-level simulation?
Well, the solution is the hybrid computing era.
Okay.
It relies on a division of labor. Your local hardware, the MPU and QPU sitting silently under your desk, that handles your immediate localized reality. It processes your physical reflexes, your weapon targeting, the immediate physics of your character.
So that guarantees absolute zero latency for your inputs.
Precisely. And simultaneously, massive cloud servers act as a sort of macro brain. They calculate the incredibly complex, slow-moving background data. Things like the behavioral routines of 50,000 individual pedestrians in a virtual city.
Or like the accurate meteorological shifting of a global storm system.
Yes. The cloud streams that macro environmental data down to your system as raw context. And your local rig seamlessly integrates it into your immediate lag-free bubble.
That division of labor is brilliant. The local brain handles the immediate survival instincts, and the cloud brain handles the slow, overarching reality simulation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have this biological machine rendering a hybrid world perfectly. The final barrier, and this is where the tech and mag analysis gets into truly wild territory, is the human element.
Oh, yes.
How we physically command this technology. Because human fingers pressing plastic keys on a keyboard are now the slowest part of the entire chain.
The mouse and keyboard simply cannot keep up with 0 millisecond photonic data transfer. The human nervous system is the new bottleneck.
Which introduces the era of think-to-click. We are talking about the mass adoption of non-invasive brain-computer interfaces, or BCIs, devices from Logitech and the entertainment division of Neuralink.
Amazing tech.
And to be clear, they don't replace the analog stick for basic movement yet, but they act as this ultra-fast supplementary control layer. If you are playing a massive RPG and you want to swap to a specific weapon or cast a highly complex spell, you don't memorize a combination of keystrokes. You simply think about executing the action.
The mechanics of this are rooted in reading electroencephalography, or EEG, signals.
Right.
Every time you intend to make a physical movement, your brain's motor cortex fires a specific pattern of electrical voltage. The headset, which rests against your scalp, isn't reading your deep personal thoughts.
It's not reading your diary.
No, not at all. It is simply trained via machine learning to recognize the unique voltage spike that occurs when you intend to throw a grenade or intend to block an attack.
Wow.
It recognizes that electrical spike and executes the in-game command before the physical signal even has time to travel down your arm to your fingers.
It's literally faster than human physical reaction time. And the applications for virtual reality are genuinely staggering.
Oh, completely.
The analysis highlights digital telekinesis. In a VR environment, players can look at a heavy boulder, focus their pure mental concentration on it, and the BCI translates that sustained electrical voltage into the physical lifting and hurling of the object in-game.
It effectively grants the user a digital superpower. And crucially, it's a two-way street.
What do you mean?
Well, software is also analyzing you. Game developers are utilizing a concept called adaptive flow. Through the BCI headset, the AI continuously monitors your cognitive load by reading the frequency of your brainwaves, alongside your heart rate and physical stress levels.
Okay.
If it senses you are becoming bored, it seamlessly dynamically spawns harder enemies. If it senses your stress spiking into frustration, it subtly scales the difficulty down. It engineers the environment to keep your brain locked in a perfect psychological state of flow.
I have to admit, as incredible as that sounds, it also sounds deeply exhausting. I mean, if the game is directly monitoring my motor cortex and constantly tweaking the environment to demand my absolute peak focus,
yeah,
aren't I going to completely fry my brain after a weekend gaming binge? Like, am I going to electrocute myself?
Well, this raises an important question regarding user safety.
Yeah.
To address your immediate fear, the current consumer headsets are strictly non-invasive. There are no surgical implants, and they are entirely passive receivers.
Good to know.
They only read the existing electrical signals on the surface of your scalp. They do not transmit any electricity back into your brain tissue.
Okay.
You cannot electrocute yourself. However, your concern about deep exhaustion is incredibly valid. The medical community has coined the term cognitive fatigue for this exact phenomenon.
Cognitive fatigue, meaning it's a stamina issue, not a safety issue.
Exactly. The neurological data shows that utilizing a BCI headset for intense gameplay for over 4 consecutive hours reliably induces profound tension headaches.
Ouch.
Sustaining the focused mental voltage required for digital telekinesis or rapid think-to-click actions is neurologically taxing. It is the exact same physiological drain as sitting down and taking a grueling 4-hour advanced mathematics exam.
Wow.
Your brain is an organ, and it physically fatigues.
So to be a competitive gamer in 2026, you literally have to train your mental endurance. You have to build up cognitive calluses just to participate.
It requires an entirely new discipline of mental stamina, yes.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? If we step back and synthesize this massive shift, the technological leaps are undeniable. I mean, we're looking at a 50% reduction in overall system power consumption compared to the brute force era of 2024.
Incredible efficiency.
We have infinite real-world physics unlocked by room temperature quantum stacking. We've completely eradicated data latency with photonic memory. And the machines operate in dead silent harmony thanks to biomimetic pulsing synthetic veins. It paints a picture of a technological utopia.
It is a remarkable achievement in engineering, but we really must view it through the stark economic and practical realities of 2026.
True.
This cybernetic renaissance has a steep cost. First-generation quantum hardware and biomimetic cooling are bleeding-edge technologies, and they carry an exorbitant premium. The QPU silicon market alone is projected to hit $110 billion by the end of this year.
That's massive.
These systems are incredibly expensive.
It's rapidly pricing casual hobbyists entirely out of the ecosystem.
Furthermore, there is the brutal reality of backward compatibility. If you have a library of legacy games, essentially anything engineered before 2023, they are utterly unplayable on these new cybernetic rigs.
Right, because legacy games were hard-coded to rely on brute force silicon calculation rather than being designed for AI hallucinations.
Exactly. Modern titles built on Unreal Engine 6 are natively structured around NPU upscaling and generative frame creation.
Hmm.
If you take a legacy powerhouse like the RTX 4090 and attempt to run a 2026 game, it simply lacks the dedicated neural architecture to hallucinate the missing data.
Right.
The result is a slideshow of unplayable frame drops. The industry had to deliberately burn down the old ecosystem to allow the new one to grow.
Progress always demands a sacrifice, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But looking at the entire Tech and Mag analysis, I think the biggest takeaway is a profound philosophical shift.
How so?
Well, for half a century, humanity aggressively tried to force silicon to bend to our will until we literally broke it at the 1-nanometer line. And instead of giving up, we humbled ourselves. We stopped trying to engineer our way out of the problem, and we asked quantum physics and biology for the answer.
We finally stopped fighting nature and started mimicking it.
Which leaves us with something to really mull over as we look at the silent setup sitting under our desks. If our personal computers no longer just compute, you know, if they now have synthetic veins, if they literally pulse with artificial blood, and if they can directly read the electrical intentions of our minds to construct parallel universes using photons and quantum probability, at what point do we stop calling them machines and start considering them an entirely new species?
A fascinating question to end on.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the cybernetic renaissance. Stay curious out there, and we'll catch you on the next one.